Welcome to each one of you who have come here this morning. I hope you've come desirous to hear the Lord and His message that He would bring to you. I want to welcome everybody who's live streaming. And I want to tell you that our schedule said that my father-in-law, Ken Orr, was going to preach, but he is recovering from some sickness, and so the lot has fallen on the pastors. And Andy took off this weekend to go up to visit the members in Sholo, and so then the lot fell to Gary and I. So, I called Gary last night, well, I called Alicia, and told him that we are going to split our sermon this morning, and the instructions were this, that we would each take 20 minutes and only four scriptures. So my time starts now. Because I think there's some value in just changing things every once in a while. And I have some thoughts that I wanted to share in four scriptures in 20 minutes today. And are not the same as when I had contacted my brother-in-law last night and had prepared four separate scriptures. As this morning I was praying, some thoughts came to my mind, and I want to convey this message this morning. And so I'm going to have you turn, if you are following along, into the Book of Mormon, into the Book of Enos. And that would be on page 194. And I'm going to begin here in the Book of Enos, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. It says this, "Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man. For he taught me in his language, and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God, before that I received a remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints, and the words of my father sunk deep into my heart, and my soul hungered. And I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto Him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all the day long I did cry unto Him, yea, and the night came, and I did still raise my voice high, that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God could not lie, wherefore my guilt was swept away. And I saith, Lord, how is it done? And he saith unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen, and many years shall pass away before he shall manifest himself in the flesh. Wherefore, go to it. Thy faith hath made thee whole." I grabbed a couple of things to make a point here this morning. Gary said, "You have so many cell phones." For some of us who are always on call, I carry two cell phones all the time, but I grabbed a couple extra ones here. Can anybody tell me the difference in these phones? It's size difference. They're all the same model, capacity, or they're all the same maker, sorry. We have the iPhone 4, the iPhone 5. I gave that to Aaron. It's all right. I can break it. It's got a life-proof case. And then the iPhone 6. You know, I want to talk this morning about where we get our value. For my 20 minutes that I have left here, 17, where we get our value. You know, as I read this particular portion of this scripture here, and Enos, here he is, as he goes out in the forest, and he finds himself wanting. He finds himself wanting. And it says in verse 5, he says, my soul, it hungered. And, you know, I think about this, and we look around in this world, and we see people whose souls are hungering. They recognize something missing. We go about our life, and you know, how often do we see this? You know, here I got three generations of a phone here that in a lot of ways has become a status symbol. They've done all sorts of studies about the kind of people who own Apple products. And they say they're typically better educated, which isn't true of me, but typically better educated. They typically have more financial success and all these things, you know. And so in a lot of ways, this iPhone is a status symbol. You know, here I have three generations of it. You know, they're currently making an iPhone 7. And once that iPhone 7 comes out, you know, one of these will fall off, or people will know it'll be considered obsolete. Everybody will get that iPhone 7, and it'll maybe be a little bit bigger, a little bit faster, have a little more capabilities. Siri will know a little bit more, right? All these things. And then eventually there'll be an iPhone 8. And then eventually there'll be an iPhone 9. You know, this one's my work iPhone. And I had an iPhone 5, but it was messing up. And so I told my work, said, you know what, this phone, it's not staying on, so I can't stay on call. So they said, we'll just give you another one. And so they upgraded me to an iPhone 6. All of the guys on the SWAT team are very jealous that I got an iPhone 6, and they all have an iPhone 5 because mine is better than them. And all I use it for is to check my email at work and to get pages to go to work. It's all I use it for, but it becomes a status symbol. And this is the thing that I recognize as something within the day in which we live, is that we see in the lives of the children of men, everybody, not just those of us who are here, our souls hunger. We hunger. And Enos here, he finds what it is, you know, as he found his soul hungering, and he cried out to his maker, and he poured out to the Lord everything that's on his heart, raised his voice high. Because he looked for acceptance from the only one that truly mattered. And it had nothing to do with whatever was the status symbol of 421 to 542 BC. Nothing to do with that. It had to do with the fact that a voice came unto me saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I knew that God could not lie, wherefore my guilt was swept away. And I said, Lord, how is it done? And he saith unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast not heard nor seen. There are so many things in this world that we can try to draw value from, and yet we recognize this to be the absolute truth, is that the things in this world can never truly bring happiness. Every year they're going to come out with a new model of car. As soon as they come out with one iPhone, they're developing another one. And someone's going to drop $600 or $700 on that new one because I have to have the newest one. And there'll be another one following it. And we'll always be hungering if we look for acceptance and if we determine our value by the things of this world. I want to turn to Luke in the 21st chapter, and I'm going to read verse 34, and then I'm going to backtrack and read 29 through 33. That does count as one scripture. Gary. Scripture readings. All right. But I better hurry here. You got 12 minutes. Verse 34, Christ speaking to the people here, and he says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. He says, we need to be watching and paying attention. That word surfeiting, you know, it has to do with overeating. It has to do with a lifestyle of excess, of all these things that we do to an excess. You know, our entire existence right now, it's about excess. We always want to have more capacity on our phone so we can put more songs on there and videos and all those things. It's about access. It's about excess. Too many things. You know, we eat to excess. We go into a restaurant and I'm going to plunk down $10 on a burger, and I want that thing to be as big as my face. Right? It needs to be that. We want everything in excess. And if we're not careful, this desire, this surfeiting, this desire for all the things in the world that we seem to derive, or we think is going to derive some value, a car, a status symbol, it takes away from and it robs what we are truly here for. Verse 29, and he spake unto them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. Now when they shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You know, the Lord tells him. He says, you take a look at all the things that are happening in this world, and you know, when you see the fig tree start to put out fruit, you know that, hey, it's about to be summertime. And then he goes on after that to say, so be careful. that your life is not overcharged with surfeiting, with the excess of this life, because you know what day it is that you live. And where do you determine your value? And where do you align yourself? It can't be through anything in this world. It doesn't matter what phone we have. I'm not going to be able to get Siri to give me directions to salvation. She doesn't know it. I've asked. Jeremiah chapter 6. I might actually be done early. No, I'm on my third scripture. Jeremiah chapter 6. Now I'm going to read verse 16. I love this scripture. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I'm an aspiring carpenter. I enjoy woodworking, and I have found myself lately looking to expand my knowledge base of how I do my woodworking. For a carpenter, kind of that pinnacle of accomplishment is being able to cut perfect dovetails. All right, any carpenters in here? Stephen, I know you do some of that. Cutting perfect dovetails to put drawers or something like that together. And we know dovetails, it's going to look like a triangle. We're going to fit them together. Perfect dovetails. It's kind of the pinnacle of a carpenter. And so, you know, what have we done? Well, as I look and I try to figure out how we cut these perfect dovetails, you know, they have every technology out there that I can spend, you know, from $10 to $10,000 to cut the perfect dovetail. And yet, you know, as I've been doing all this research and looking, you know, I stumbled upon this guy, and he's a lifelong carpenter, and he was showing this simple way to cut dovetails, and all he used was two saws and a chisel. And without any scribing or anything, you know, all he did was he cut one initial mark and he just cut it. And he fit it together and it was perfect. A couple weeks ago when I had preached, I had talked about at my old house how I have a side yard and it was always filled with weeds, and I would spray it with all sorts of different weed killers and all that, and it never worked. But, you know, the one day I would get out there with a shovel and I would cut them out at the root. You know, my neighbor across the street told me, he says, you know, that simple way is always the best. You know, we can find ourselves completely immersed in all of the ways that this world says that we can do things better and easier and how to be happier and all those things. And yet, in the end, the Lord tells us, stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you'll find rest to your soul. You know, the simple truths of the gospel, that simple approaching of the Lord in humility. You know, why is it that Enos found himself satisfied with the Lord and the Lord accepted his faith? Because, you know, all those things that Enos heard his father talk about day after day, week after week, year after year, you know, he let it work in his life. He let it work in his life, and he found himself accepted by God and content in life. Where did he get his value? It wasn't from whatever it was that was the technology or whatever at the time. No, it was by the acceptance of God. And where does that come from? Where does it come from? It comes from looking at the old ways, the path that the Lord has set before us, one of chastening our life, one of humbling ourselves to the commandments of the Lord, one of humble service. Those things bring value, not only here on this life, but they bring us value eternally. And consider yourself in that, you know, as we go through our life day by day, where do we derive our value? I hope it's from the Lord, not by anything that we could possibly possess and hold in our hand, but by the righteousness and by the acceptance of God. And I hope that at some point in your life that you felt this, when you've made efforts, you've striven to change in your life, and the Lord has made known to you his acceptance of you. I hope you felt that. That he has spoken to you, and he is just like he spoke to Enos. Your sins are forgiven. I accept you. I see what you're trying to do here. I love you. I want to draw you ever closer to me. You know, in the Book of Mormon, Christ talks about that, and he says that all the things he did, you know, giving his life and all of the scriptures that have been written, he says, I did it so I could draw men to me. that value that we should be searching for. My last scripture with 5 minutes and 57 seconds left. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and I'm going to read verses 17 through 19. You know, this whole chapter is kind of talking about the freedom that we have as Christians. The freedom of choice, the freedom of decision, the freedom to influence other people. You know, it's really talking about spiritual maturity and calling us to that. And I want to read here, verse 17 to 19. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, nor is it iPhones, nor is it a Cadillac or a McLaren, nor is it a PhD in anything like that. That's not what the kingdom of God is. We put our value in things like that, we're absolutely missing the mark. The kingdom of God isn't in meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, when we're aligning ourselves with the Lord, and when we're doing the things that bring about righteousness, peace and joy will always accompany it. Gary, are you distracting everybody from the last 4 minutes I have of my sermon?
Sorry.
For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, that we may edify one another. This particular word edify, you know, Paul says here that righteousness and peace and joy, those are the things that are the kingdom of God. And that if we're going to serve Christ, we'll be acceptable to God and we'll be approved of men. Says, let's follow after those things which make for peace and things wherewith we might edify one another. That word edify, the root of it being defined says to be a house builder. To be a house builder, to construct. You know, that we do these things. When we align ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, when the things that determine our value is these things of God, righteousness, peace, joy, when all these things are present, it says that we have this opportunity to construct a house for ourselves, for others, to be influential in the lives of others, much like Enos' father was influential in his life and drew him to understand what is true value, what is it that we look for. And so in my final 3 minutes and 16 seconds, I want to call you guys to consider where it is you derive your value in life. What is it that you're looking for? Is there something that you are aligning yourself with, that you are hoping for, that you're trying to endeavor to accomplish? And are those accomplishments, whatever they are, do they bring glory and honor to the Lord? Do they encourage righteousness? Do they come with the fruits of peace and of joy? Those are the things that the Lord puts value in, and that He will give to you in your life when you do those things that bring about His eternal purposes. So I hope that you consider that as I finish 2 minutes early with my portion of this sermon. So I'm going to give it over to my brother Gary. 18.